Thanks, everybody. It's great to be together on this. I don't know where you were last week. Where was everybody? I'm Mark Patty, the senior pastor here, so if I haven't had a chance to meet you, it's my privilege to do so, and I hope to maybe during the lunch afterward we get a chance to visit a little bit. It is pretty amazing. It's hard to believe that just a week ago we weren't here because there was snow. This is a picture of my driveway last Sunday morning. I took this for my daughter so I could send it to my daughter out in Seattle who wasn't helping me shovel and let her know that we got a little snow. And it was amazing. I don't know how many times I went out and did more shoveling. One of the great things about it, though, and this happens when you've got this kind of common experience together, is it brings people together in some ways. And so instead of being here with all of you, I was next door helping my neighbor shovel their driveway, and you know, we got to know each other better. It was really a great opportunity for that, and who knows how God works through all these amazing things. But it was really different. And actually, as somebody who loves snow, I was smiling a lot. You see that basketball hoop there. One of the things I love about April is for those of us who love basketball, it's a great time of the year not to get out there in Minnesota and play it in the driveway, but to watch it on TV. Or actually, some of our members have gotten to go to games like last night as the Timberwolves won their first playoff game in, since 2004, yeah. I mean, how amazing. And the game that got them into the postseason for the first time since then, you know, that was won in overtime, right? It was just amazing. What fun to see. And, of course, I love watching the NCAA Finals Division I. The Notre Dame women's team beat UConn, University of Connecticut. And UConn never loses except to Notre Dame. And I was listening to one of the women from the UConn team talking about how when they get on the court, she imagines that the Notre Dame players come on the court with a little different attitude than other teams because they know from experience that UConn can actually lose, that they can actually beat them. And she said, and maybe we come on the court a little different too. Our attitude's maybe not quite what it could be because we know this team has beat us before. We could lose. You think about how that attitude is so important. In fact, you know, Villanova, the men's team that won the men's championship, their whole thing is about attitude. Their coach has a book out called Attitude, Jay Wright. He's written about how the attitude is the one thing that you can control. You know, when they come together, their team, for a timeout, he says, they may be behind by 20 points or they may be ahead by 20 points. It doesn't really matter at this point. The only thing they can control as they go back on the court is their attitude. You know, and that's true for all of us. There are so many things that we can't control, but we can work on controlling our attitude. Their team, it was amazing. Every time they break from their huddles, they yell, attitude. They get it drilled into them because it's so important. And this is what Jesus talks to us about too, is what's your attitude when you come before God, when you come before God's word? What's your attitude? Think about that. Because, in the passage we're going to look at, Jesus in the Gospel of Mark has more and more people gathering around him. These crowds are just burgeoning. But not everybody's coming with an attitude of really listening. And so he tells this parable that it actually is told in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, about the attitude of, the soil that we've got when we listen, when we hear God's word, that it makes all the difference. So I want to share this passage with you, Mark chapter 4. It's really the parable of the parables because it tells us the kind of attitude that God longs for us to have as we come before him and as we come before God's word. This is Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. And such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat beside the sea and sat there while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun came out, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100 fold. And he said, let anyone with ears to hear listen. Now, when he was alone, those who were with him along with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may indeed look but not perceive, and they may indeed hear but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. When they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. And when trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones who are the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. What a strange little piece in the middle of that. Did you catch it where Jesus says, I'm telling parables so that people will look but not perceive and hear and not understand? I mean, do you think maybe Jesus is saying, I don't really want some people to hear? At least 13 times in this passage, Jesus uses the word hear or listen. He longs for us to hear his word, to listen to it. But Jesus knows that not everybody's going to do that. I mean, here he is, hundreds, thousands of people gathering around him, and knows that not everybody's going to actually let the word of God within them and to change them and to bear fruit through them. What Jesus says here actually is reciting a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 6. You might remember the commissioning story of Isaiah, where God says, you know, whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. God says then to Isaiah, now I want you to go out and you're going to preach my words so that people will look but not perceive, and they'll hear and not understand, so that they won't turn again and be healed. Maybe that's a good word for a prophet who's going out, and as we know from Isaiah or Jeremiah, people didn't listen to them. You know, maybe it's a good word for us to say to seminary students who are going to go into ministry and say, now you need to know, God's calling you to preach, but don't expect people to really listen. Imagine how frustrating for Isaiah, for Jeremiah, to know that they're going to proclaim the word of God, that they're going to say, unless you repent, you're going to have consequences for your sin. You're going to go off into Babylon. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Imagine the frustration. How good to know before they start that this is how people respond to God's word far too often. I mean, I think about what it's like for a parent, maybe teachers, anybody who's worked with kids, you know what it's like sometimes to say, look, if you do this, you're going to get, look, if you don't do it this way, it's going to, look, would you just listen to me? And they can't hear you. You know, you're just like trying to just get them to listen to what you're saying. They've already assumed they know what you're going to say, and you can't even say it. They won't listen, and you say, okay, don't listen. Have you ever said that? Don't listen. Just go on. Just because you really want them to listen. You're hoping that when you say, okay, stop listening, they'll say, okay, go ahead. What is it you want to say? And at least 50% of the time that happens. But 50% it doesn't, does it? What's the percentage with you? What's the percentage with us? What's our attitude when we come before God, when God comes before us, when we come to church, when we open up the scriptures? What's the attitude? It makes all the difference. Jesus longs for us not to be like the past. He tells us about the past because he doesn't want us to be like the past. He wants us to be careful of the fact that all of us can be like the past on any given day or any time of the day, on any day. We're too often like the past. Our hearts are hard. God's speaking to us, whether it's through the scripture or as we come to worship on Sunday mornings, or maybe it's through a friend or child or a parent. But we can't hear. We're not listening. Our hearts are hard. Imagine if we would pray to God each morning, each time we come to God's word, each time we come to church, Lord, help my heart, my mind to be open before you. Help me to hear what you're saying to me. Because maybe God wants to speak into that sin or into that attitude we've got that, you know, we're just committed to but needs to be changed. Or whatever it might be, that we would say, God, give me an open heart, an open mind, open ears before you today. Jesus doesn't want us to be like the hardened path. He doesn't want us to be like the soil that's full of rocks, where we receive the word with joy, but we don't allow the word to dig roots into us. I think this describes many of us in the United States these days, going to church. We're all excited. We have some great worship services. People hear the word, and our hands are raised, and we go out of church, and we act just like we did when we came in. Our hearts are no different. Our attitudes, our actions. God, help us. God, help us to hear the word and let it in, to pray that his word would have the effect within us that we need it to have so that we can bear good fruit in our world. Jesus longs for us not to be like that hardened path, not like that rocky soil, and certainly not like that which is sown among thorns. I think for many of us at Salem, this may be the one that's closest to the truth for many of us. You know, the word comes in, and we say, thank you, God, let it in. We read it, we listen, we allow it to start growing in us, but it's not the only thing we allow to grow in us. We've got other ambitions, you know. There are other things that we are chasing after. The concerns of the world, the lure of wealth, the desire for, yeah, for what God wants, but for a few other things too. And that we would pray to God to help us to be single of heart and mind, to follow his word, to make obedience to God's word our primary priority in life, that we would seek nothing more than to live according to God's word, to allow God's word to shape who we are, what our attitudes are, what our actions will be, what the words will be that come out of our mouths. Oh, that we would allow God's word within us and not allow it to be strangled out, choked out by all these other siren calls from within us and from outside of us. Jesus longs for us. And I know, honestly, as we take a moment to take a deep breath today, each one of us longs to be the good soil. We want to be that. We want to grow up in all that God created us to be a part of the good happening in our world. And not just the okay good, but the good that God dreams of in our world. Transformative world that brings hope and life and love to all. So I want to invite you this morning to consider what it would mean for you to commit yourself, to be intentional about the attitude that you're going to have as you come to God and to God's word today. And as we commit ourselves to this, there are a few things coming out of the scripture that really strike me as things we can focus our attention on that can help us to be that good soil. And the first of them all, you're not going to be surprised by this, is the word, listen. I said over 13 times in here, Jesus uses this word, hear, listen, longs for us to hear, to listen to his word, as he says here, to accept it, to allow it to come into us and to have roots in us, to abide in us, for us to abide in his word, to be meditating on it, thinking on it, for us to actually come to church and pray certainly for others around us, but to pray for yourself too. Lord, help me today to listen. Help me to accept your word. Help me to receive your word. May it make its home within me. I want to invite you to pray that kind of prayer today and each day. To take the time, honestly, make it a commitment this week. Just start this week. Start today opening up the Bible, taking 5 minutes and reading the scripture. And pray as you do, as you begin, Lord, help me to hear what you're saying to me. Not just to read it, but God, what are you saying to me? I invite you to listen. Second thing, I love this word that Jesus uses in here. It grows up and increases. But that grows up, I think, is one of the key words for us to, or two words, for us to think about as we want to grow as the people God created us to be. What does it mean for you to grow up? I think many of us, we want to grow up to be older or to get that job or to get ahead or to what. But how about growing up from immaturity to maturity? How about growing up from the level of maturity we are today to the level of maturity that we could be tomorrow if we would commit ourselves to God's word and allowing our attitudes to grow up too? So that we understand the world doesn't and shouldn't revolve around me, around us, but revolves around God and God's purposes in this world, revolves around the people God loves, and that we will commit ourselves to having the same kind of character that Jesus had alive and growing in us, so that the fruit of the Spirit, as much as they may have been alive yesterday, are growing in us, and we are more today full of love and joy. And peace and patience and kindness and generosity and goodness, faithfulness, self-control, that we would grow in the character of Jesus Christ, that we would be increasingly people who reflect Jesus to the world. The next word that Jesus uses is the word increase. And this has been really helpful to me as I've meditated on how I can allow God's word to lead me to fruitfulness. It's this idea that we want to be continually increasing in our faithfulness to God. What does it mean for you? Faithful as you've been, good as you've been, what does it mean for you to increase your faithfulness, to increase your commitment, to increase your involvement, your participation in the good work of God in the world? Today's Stewardship Commitment Sunday, and it's a great day for us to actually, in a very practical way, to prayerfully consider increasing our faithfulness to God in a way that actually we can see and feel and costs us something. What would it mean for you to increase your faithfulness to God through your financial giving? Martin Luther talks about, you know, the conversion of our head and our heart, but also of our pocketbook. That we would increase our conversion, commitment to God by taking our next step. Jeff mentioned on the blue cards that some of you received in the mail and others here got in your bulletin as you walked in. But on the back of it, there's that staircase. levels of giving. It's kind of broken down, and you can figure out where you are on that. And I'd encourage you to prayerfully consider taking the next step up that ladder, that staircase, or even jumping a step or two. What does it mean for you to increase your faithfulness to God? I want to be clear this morning that, first of all, some of you are, this is your first time here. So you should really give more. No, just kidding. Please, no pressure. If this isn't your church, pray to God about where it is that you should be increasing your commitment, your faithfulness to God. But if Salem is your home church, then pray about doing it here in a practical, sacrificial, generous way. And of course, for some here, I want to be very clear about this. Some of you here are at a different stage of life. Your income is actually decreasing, not increasing. And faithfulness for you, increasing your faithfulness, may not mean increasing the dollar amount you're giving to God. It may mean saying, God, I'm going to be faithful with what you've given me. And though I'd like to give $1 million this year, it's going to be whatever it's going to be. Please do not feel pressure that way, that you're supposed to be given some amount. I think of the woman who gave the 2 pennies, and Jesus says she gave the most. Just give what God's calling you to give, but give what God's calling you to give. Talk with God about it. If some of you came prepared to do this morning. And so if you're prepared, I'd invite you as we take the offering to place your offering, we're not going to do it quite yet, but to place them in one of the baskets or on the table up here, and then to go back to your seat. If you're not prepared this morning, you need to talk to your spouse, you need to pray about it, you haven't thought about it, you meant to, whatever, please take the time to do that. My heart really is not that we'll meet our budget or that we'll be able to expand our budget, even though we need to do that. My heart is that each one of us will be good soil. And that we'll do what God's calling us to do. If we do that, we're going to do abundantly far more than we've yet asked or imagined. But if you just do what I'm telling you to do, God help us. I want to do what God's calling us to do. Okay, so and I really mean that. So please feel free, take time over lunch to talk to a family member, pray about it, and then place the card. There's a box out by the Welcome Center, or mail it in, bring it in next week. But I would just invite you to think about what increasing means. One of the members of our congregation shared recently how over the last couple years since he started coming to Salem, he's increased his giving each year so that he's come this past year to a tithe, you know, giving 10% of his income to God through the ministry of Salem. And he shared the sense of joy and peace and even freedom from the financial strain and stress that he's felt as he's given himself fully to God in that way. And I want to invite you to experience that kind of joy, that kind of freedom as we step forward, allowing God's word not just to come in, but to dig roots in us. As we allow it to be our primary focus and desire to grow. Because the reality is that God wants to bear good fruit, abundant fruit through us. And in fact, it's happening here at Salem. I'm so delighted by what God is doing. Jeff, you know, he commented on that a little bit, but we've got people coming in through our preschool, through our T-ball program, our sports program, people who are coming and experiencing that, but then, okay, so what's the spiritual stuff about? We get a chance to talk about that. They take their next step, their increase, their growth, one step at a time, like all of us, forward in their mission. In our children's program, we've grown literally by 300, 400% over the last few years, and God is bearing fruit through us. It's a joy for us here in this service, right here too. But I got to be honest, if we're going to be able to sustain this kind of growth, this kind of fruitfulness, we need people like you and me to increase our giving. Our budget, as we look and plan for this coming year, has got to include the support, staffing support, for us to equip our laity to continue this kind of fruitful ministry. We need to do this. And it's a joy as we do. It's so much fun to be a part of the movement of God here at Salem, here in the Twin Cities. We've got a mission that God has given us, and yes, it does include the Congo, but you got to know it includes this place right here, this community, these children, these generations that are here now and yet to come. God is calling us to be fruitful. And I want to invite you to be that kind of soil that produces that kind of God-given, God-blessed fruit to the glory of God and to the good of this world. In just a moment, I will invite, as our team begins playing, you to bring up your commitment cards, your offerings, or just to touch the table with a prayer saying, I'll come, Lord, later in the week and present my commitment. But I want to invite you to come up and do that following this prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege that is ours, the honor to listen to your word. And I do pray, God, we pray this morning that we would be good soil, that we would bear abundant fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.